الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أربع إذا كن فيك فلا عليك ما فاتك من الدنيا: صدق حديث وحفظ أمانة وحسن خليقة وعفة في طعمة، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected ulama-i kiram, elders, beloved brothers in Islam, we are living in an increasingly superficial environment and world. Outward beauty, excellence in appearance, this is something that has become the focal point of the existence of many people. A glaring testimony of this will be the multi-billion dollar cosmetic industry, where people are prepared to spend stupendous amounts of money to appear attractive, to appear beautiful. The mafhum of one riwayat, Ibn Adam, Allah Ta'ala calls out, O Ibn Adam, O insan, how much effort you are making, kam tatazayyanta linnas, how much effort you are making to make yourself beautiful, attractive for the people. Fahal tazayyanta li ajli, have you made effort to make yourself beautiful in the eyes of Allah? And when we talk of in the eyes of Allah, by extension in the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Tomorrow in Allah's court in Qiyamah, in the world, people may have looked up to us. In the world, this may have been a beautiful and an attractive person. In Allah's court, are we attractive? In Allah's court, are we beautiful? Is the testimony of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our favor that this is a beautiful person? We have to understand, my respected brothers, every one of us, particularly in our current geopolitical context, we are a minority in this country. In many parts of the world, Muslims are minority. We have an added burden or responsibility. One is, mashallah, we may be practicing Muslims, 5 times namazi, we may be fasting in the month of Ramadan, carrying out the obligatory acts of ibadat of deen. But coupled with this, every one of us is an ambassador for Islam. Every one of us has an added burden and responsibility. You want to make yourself attractive, become attractive in the eyes of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Enhance your beauty and your attractiveness, not only superficially, externally, internally. Become a beautiful and an attractive human being. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us in the Quran that Allah has presented in front of us the most beautiful human being there can ever be. Externally, internally, from every aspect, from every direction, he was kamal. He was perfection. He was the epitome, the height of beauty and attraction. And when Allah places this personality on a pedestal, and Allah says, this is uswa, this is your role model, keep this in front of you, This is your goal. This is what you are supposed to aspire towards. Very beautifully in the Quran, Allah says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. Allah says, لَقَدْ, definitely, without a doubt, كَانَ لَكُمْ, past tense, which creates greater emphasis. Definitely, without a doubt, there is for you, فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, in Muhammadur Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, uswatun hasana. The most interestingly, Quran uses the word hasana, because Allah knows this desire for beauty that overtakes human being. Allah has made it part of our psyche, our nature. We want to be beautiful. Allah says, you want to be beautiful. The most beautiful example, perfect role model, is Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Become a beautiful human being by following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the occasion of Jumu'ah. Time is very limited. The Shariat, Quran is Bahrul la sahil alahu. It's a limitless ocean. The ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is one title that is given to scholars of hadith. One of it is called Hafiz al-Hadith. Hafiz al-Hadith means someone who knows 1,000,000 ahadith by heart. A personality who in the science of hadith is able to, from memory, like Imam Abu Zur'a rahimahullah used to say, like how you people read Kulu Allahu Ahad, I can read 1,000,000 ahadith by heart. So, such an extensive ocean of knowledge. Occasion of Jummah, it's impossible. But the shafaqah, kindness, compassion of our master, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave us a nichor, an essence. He condensed this entire masla, this entire issue in four things. Very often we find when sahaba would come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would also look for something brief. This is human nature. We don't want to get into a long polluted thing. We're looking for some easy way. Or sometimes a shortcut. Sahaba would ask, Ya Rasulullah, tell us something. La asalu anhu ahadan ba'dak. We find these expressions in riwayat. Ya Rasulullah, tell us something. After this, we don't need to ask you anything more. In other words, tell us something concise. Something we can hold on to. This hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which I recited in the beginning, I'm going to translate it now. My Nabi says, Arba'un, four things. Arba'un, and if we look at these four things, unfortunately, like I mentioned, occasion of Jummah is very brief. Not sure if we will be able to cover these four things also. But very, very briefly, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these four things are such, if one has to look at it, it is almost as if the entire edifice of Islam, Quran and Hadith, is built on these four things. And how important these four things are. Arba'un, idha kunna fika, fala alayka ma fataka min ad-dunya. Allahu Akbar. How beautifully Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam puts it. You want to become beautiful internally, externally. You want a beautiful life. You want peace, you want muhabbat, you want love, you want affection, you want acceptance, you want to be free from depression, you want to be free from mental stress, mental worries. All this is contained. You want to become beautiful in Allah's court in akhirat. You want your dunya to be made, you want your akhirat to be made. My Nabi says, hold on to four things. فَلَا عَلَيْكَ مَا فَاتَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. If nothing... He says, if you have these four things, you have everything. Your dunya is made, your akhirat is made, you need nothing else. In another hadith it comes, ma darraka, nothing can harm you, whatever you've lost of the world, you've lost nothing if you have these four things. Allahu Akbar. What are these four things? The first thing, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, sidqu hadithin. Sidqu hadithin. When you speak, speak the truth. Safwan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one sahabi comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ayakuna al-mu'min jabbanan? Ya Rasulullah, can a man have iman and be buzdil, be a coward? No culture promotes cowardliness. Every culture frowns on cowardliness. Yet, Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is being asked, can cowardliness and iman come together? My Nabi says, yes, it is possible. Ayakun al-mu'min bakhil? Can a man be miserly and have iman? Here also, Islam frowns upon miserliness. A Muslim is a generous person. Yet Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, it is possible. Third question is asked, Ayakun al-mu'min kadhaban? Can a man have iman and be a liar? Can a man have iman and be deceitful? Can a man have iman and be dishonest? Yeah, Muhammadur Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, La, it is not possible to have iman and be a liar. يُتْبَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِ عَلَى الْخِلَالِ كُلِّهَا إِلَّا الْكَذِبُ وَالْخِيَانَةِ. Another hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said, a mu'min, my ummati, can commit every wrong, every crime. We are insan, we are weak, we'll make mistakes, we'll ask Allah for forgiveness. He said, every sin is possible, but two sins, iman and these two sins don't come together. He said, al-kadhib wal-khiyana, al-kadhib wal-khiyana, lying and being what we call dokabaz, deceiving people. Eating up the haqq of people. This does not gel with iman. The greatest ni'mat and bounty of Jannah. The greatest ni'mat, and what is Jannah? A'dadtu li'ibadi s-salihin. Ma la aynun ra'at, wa la udhunun sami'at, wa la khatar ala qalbi bashar. Allahu Akbar. My Nabi said, Allah says, I have prepared for my slaves, for my bandas that are obedient to me in Jannah, such a Jannah, no eye has ever seen anything like it. No ear has ever heard of such things. No mind has ever imagined a place like Jannah, such a Jannah. فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنْ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah says, imagine everything that pleases you, that excites you, everything that is ecstatic to you. Imagine it. You will still not be able to imagine what I have kept in Jannah. No one knows such a Jannah. And yet, of all the ni'mats, all the bounties of Jannah, there is one bounty. Baki Jannah ko bula dene wala. This bounty will make you forget the rest of the bounties of Jannah. The hoors, the kusoors, the anhars, the palaces, the streams, the maidens, everything you'll forget. When this one bounty is presented, what is that? The didar of Allah. The didar of Allah. Allahumma rzuqni ladhatan nadhri ila wajhik. My Nabi would make dua. Oh Allah, bless me with the lazzat, with the ecstasy of being able to look directly at you. It comes in the riwayat. Cutting it short, time is limited. When Allah will gather the people of Jannah and Ridwan will be commanded, Irfa'il al-hujub, the keeper of Jannah, Ridwan will be told, Irfa'il al-hujub, remove the veil between Allah and his bandas, and let the Jannatis look directly at Allah. That ni'mat will make every other ni'mat of Jannah pale. When Allah at that time will address the Jannatis, it comes in the riwayat, Allah will say, Marhaba. Marhaba, welcome to who? What is highlighted? Marhaban bil musallin, marhaban bil qanitin, marhaban bil sa'imin, marhaban bil mutahajjidin. Will Allah say, welcome those who used to make salah, those who used to read tahajjud, those who used to fast, those who made hajj, those who made umrah, those who made jihad? No! What will Allah highlight at the pinnacle of Jannah? Marhaban bis-sadiqeen. Marhaban bis-sadiqeen. Welcome to those who used to speak the truth. Those who were sadiq. Those who were sadiq. Don't take this lightly. My Nabi said, Ana za'imun. Ana za'imun. Ana za'imun bi baytin fi wasat al jannah liman taraka al kadhib wa in kana mazihan. He said, I, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, am your guarantor, come and demand it from me. Come on the day of judgment and demand it from me. I guarantee you, I will give you a home in the center of Jannat. لِمَن تَرَكَ الْكَذِبِ. If you will give up speaking lies. If you will give up speaking lies, even in joking, even in jesting. Today we joke and we speak lies. We promise things to our children, we speak lies. As business people, we are liars. My respected brothers, lying instead of becoming the exception today has become the norm. Shabashi will congratulate a person as to how gifted a liar he is. How dishonest he is. A Muslim, Allahu Akbar. Forget Muslim. Hiraqal Rum. This riwayat is the third or fourth hadith in Bukhari Sharif. Hiraqal Rum, the leader of the Roman Empire. The caravan of Abu Sufyan of Makkah. At that time he hadn't accepted Islam. These are the Sanadid, the Ru'asa, the leaders of the Quraysh, the greatest enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Majority of them eventually will become those who are slaughtered in Badr. They will die on kufr. These are the Firauns of the Ummah at that time. In Ilia, Abu Hiraqal Rum comes to know this group of the Quraysh of Makkah is here. Businessmen, he calls them. Gathers them in front of the leaders of the Roman Empire. That is the superpower of the time. First question he asks them. He wants to find out about the personality who claims that he is the Nabi of Allah. Referring to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What does Hiraqal Rum say? Amongst you, who is the closest person related to that person? Abu Sufyan stands up and he says, I am the closest relation to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Calls Abu Sufyan front, places the rest of the delegation of the Quraysh in the back. Then he says to his people, I am going to question Abu Sufyan. I want you to watch and I want you to ask them behind that every answer he's giving me, is he speaking the truth or is he speaking lies? Then he addresses Abu Sufyan, questions about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to determine the authenticity of the nubuwwat of Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Incident is a lengthy one. We would have heard it before. I'm not going into the details. The point, you want to be an ambassador of Islam. You want to be a beautiful Muslim. You want Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be happy with you. These are kafirs drowning in kufr. Yet, Abu Hiraqal Rum, what does Abu Sufyan say? When the leader of the Roman Empire started questioning me about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says it entered my heart that if there was ever an opportunity for me to lie, for me to besmirch the personality of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this was it. I did not want to promote Islam in front of the superpower of the time. I am not a supporter of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was an opportunity to lie. Yet kafir, drowning in kufr, enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, Allahu Akbar. He says, if it did not embarrass me, that it would become known that Abu Sufyan spoke lies, I would lakadhabtu anhu, on that occasion I would have openly spoken lies. A kafir could not bear that dishonesty should be attached to his name. What about the Muslim of today? What about the Muslim of today? And what amongst the questions that Hiraqal Rum asked, what did he ask? فَهَلْ تَتَّهِمُونَهُ بِالْكَذِبِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَقُولُ مَا قَالَ. Before he claimed to be a Nabi of Allah, tell me about this person Muhammad. Would he speak the truth or would he lie? Would he speak the truth or would he lie? Today, all the scandals, all the altered documentation, the court cases, the disputes, the scandals, the arguments behind it is what? Where is the honesty of the ummah? Where is the integrity of this ummah? The gullies and the alleys of Makkah would resound before nubuwwat. What did Allah highlight about His Nabi? The gullies and the alleys of Makkah, Al-Amin, As-Sadiq, Al-Amin, As-Sadiq. They would call him by these titles, the truthful Muhammad, the Amanatdar Muhammad. He was not Gaddar, he would not deceive, he would not usurp the rights of others. His honesty, his integrity. Rabiul Awwal is coming, Ashik-e Rasul Banna, Allahu Akbar, Ihsan Danish. is the name of one very famous poet. He passed away in Lahore, 1982. Originally from India, migrated to Pakistan, passed away in Pakistan. Very, very famous poet. In one of his books, he writes one incident. That time the English were ruling India. In Delhi, there was a pickpocket, Muslim pickpocket. He had his gangsters, or he had his chelas. They would go out for the day, young people that were recruited to be pickpockets. End of the day, one small pickpocket comes back to the chief. What did you get today? He says, I managed to earn 2 rupees. Gets upset. You wasted time the whole day, only 2 rupees you earn. So he says, you know what, Sardarji, today one very big machli came. I caught one big fish. There was an Englishman. I managed to cut his pocket and I procured a huge sum of money. As I was running away, this thought entered my heart that tomorrow on the day of judgment, what will happen if Isa alayhi salam says to my Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam that your ummati stole from my ummati? Will this not embarrass my Nabi on that day? When this thought entered my heart, I took whatever I procured and I went back and I gave it back to that Englishman. Then from someone else I found a small amount. This caused tears to come into the eyes of that thief. And he said, my son, today you have done well. He takes 10 rupees from his own side and gives it to him. What type of ambassadors of Islam are you and I? In Saharanpur in India, this is historically recorded during the English reign. There was a dispute that occurred. There was a piece of land that the Muslims had usurped. They didn't have haq to it. They usurped it. They wanted to build a masjid. The Hindus at that time wanted to build a mandir on that same piece of land. This dispute went to the English court, English judge. It was their reign. Heated argument. Finally, the judge is exasperated. They are lying. These people are lying. He doesn't know. So then he asked the Hindus, amongst the Muslims, is there anyone whose testimony you people are prepared to accept that he will speak the truth? They said, yes, there is one person. So he asked who? They said, Mufti Muzaffar Hussain, rahmatullah alayhi. Whatever testimony he will give, we as Hindus will accept it. Muslims are very happy. Why? Mufti Saab is not going to say anything against us. We want the land for masjid. So obviously he's going to say it's our land. We're going to build a masjid. If he has to speak anything else, the mandir will be built here. When Mufti Muzaffar Hussain is called to court, the judge asks him that whose land is this? He said, if the truth has to be told, Judge Saab, this land belongs to the Hindus. The Muslims usurped it. Obviously, like today, mashallah, contemporary Muslims, like the Jews we've become, they started cursing and getting very, very upset with Mufti Muzaffar. What kind of a person? You sold out Islam, you're a sellout, you are like this, you are like that. What does Quran say? La yajrimannakum shana'anu qawmin Allah ta'adilu. Allah says, do not let your association or contact, whether it's your family member, whether it's your brotherly, whether it's somebody close to you, do not let this cause you to move away from justice. I'adilu huwa aqrabu littaqwa. Be on justice. My Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sahaba say, he said when he was asked, what is the worst sin? What is the worst sin? What is the worst sin that it is possible for a man to commit? He said, al-ishraku billah. Al-ishraku billah. It is shirk with Allah. Then what? He said, uququl walidain. It is to tear the heart of your parents open to cause hurt to them. Then they asked what? He said, shahadat az-zur. Shahadat az-zur. Shahadat az-zur. To give false testimony, to give false testimony, to give false testimony. This upset Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam so much that he repeated it over and over and over again. Sahaba became concerned. In their hearts they said, we wish he would keep silent. So often he was saying this. So often he was saying this. And yet today, for a couple of rands, you can buy somebody's testimony. There is no integrity. There is no honesty left. Coming back to this incident, when Mufti Muzaffar Hussain said, this land belongs to the Hindus, what did that judge say? This is historically recorded. That judge said, Aaj Musalman haar gaye. Today the Muslims have suffered a defeat. Lekin Islam jeet gaya. But Islam is victorious. Muslims have suffered a defeat, but Islam is victorious. Islam, the pinnacle of Islam is sachai. The pinnacle of Islam is truthfulness. The pinnacle of Islam is honesty. The pinnacle of Islam is integrity. My Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how beautifully he put it. He said, Taharro as-sidq. Taharro as-sidq. Be honest regardless of what options. At times it will appear, if I'm going to be honest, I'm going to lose out. Inna fihi al-halaka. You are going to see destruction, loss for you in being honest. But my Nabi gives you consolation. He says, فَإِنَّ فِيهِ النَّجَاتِ فَإِنَّ فِيهِ النَّجَاتِ Allah has kept salvation in honesty. إِنَّ الصِّدْقَ إِنَّ الصِّدْقَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْبِرِ Truthfulness, honesty will take you towards piety, will take you towards Allah's obedience. وَإِنَّ الْبِرَّ يَغْدِي إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ And piety will take you to Jannah. Lies and deception will take you to fujur, will take you to sin, will take you to transgression, till eventually يُكْتَبْ عِنَّ اللَّهِ كَذَّابًا Till eventually you will be written in Allah's court as someone who is a liar. My Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go to the bazaars of Medina. He would go to the bazaars of Medina and he would tell the business people. He would tell the business people, Iyakum wal kadib. Be careful about lying. Man ghashana falaysa minna. He didn't say if you don't make salah, you're out of my ummah. He didn't say if you don't fast, you're out of my ummah. He didn't say Allahu Akbar. He said, Man ghasha falaysa minna. He who is deceitful, he who is dishonest, laysa minna. He is not from the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the reign of Hajjaj bin Yusuf ibn Kharash, rahimahullah, was known for his honesty, was known for his integrity. Ibn Kharash's two sons were part of that group, that army that opposed Hajjaj. When that army was defeated, those two sons obviously ran for their lives. They went into hiding. Eventually, they secretly returned back to the home of Ibn Kharash, their father. Hajjaj's CID spies informed him that the two sons of Ibn Kharash, who are wanted, a price is on their lives, they are in their father's house. Hajjaj sends for Ibn Kharash. And he asks him, and that day he says to his courtiers, today I am going to test the honesty and the integrity of Ibn Kharash. When he is summoned in the court of Hajjaj, Hajjaj says to him, Ibn Kharash, tell me, where are your two sons? Where are your two sons? He smiles at Hajjaj and he says, Hajjaj, life and death is in the hands of Allah. As Muslims, we cannot lie. As Muslims, we cannot deceive. My two sons are in my own house. I just left them and came here now. When Hajjaj hears this, he smiles and he says, Ibn Kharash, I was testing you. If you had lied, I would have taken your head off and the head of your two sons. Because you spoke the truth, Allah has inspired it in my heart to preserve your life and the life of your two sons. فَإِنَّ فِيهِ النَّجَاتِ فَإِنَّ فِيهِ النَّجَاتِ فَإِنَّ فِيهِ النَّجَاتِ لَوْ رَأَيْتُمْ أَنَّ فِيهِ الْهَلَكَ My Nabi said, تَحَرَّهُ السِّدْ تَحَرَّوْا السِّدْ Be honest, even if it looks to you that there is loss in this. Quran says, لَعْنَةُ عَلَى الْكَاذِبِينَ If you are going to lie, if you are going to cheat, a Muslim does not cheat. The riwayat of Abdullah bin Mas'ud, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, what does he say? He says, الْقَتْلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ تُكَفِّرُ الذُّنُوبَ كُلَّهَا He says, a man becomes shaheed, a martyr in the path of Allah. This will expiate every sin that he committed, illa al-amana, except amanat dari, trustworthiness, weight to his zaban, not deceiving people, not doing people down. Abdullah bin Masood goes on, he says, amanat dari is such a thing, if you usurp someone's haq on the day of judgment, Allah will say to this person who became a shaheed, spilt his blood in the path of Allah. Allah will say to this person, return back the amanat dari. Return back what you usurped from your Muslim brother. You return back what you usurped from that person. This person will say, Ya Allah, يَوْمَ تُبَدَّلُ الْأَرْضِ غَيْرَ الْأَرْضِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتِ وَبَرَزُوا لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَارِ It won't be this earth. It won't be this earth. Everything will have been upended. He will say, Ya Allah, where is it that I must return it? Allah will say to him, it is in Hawiya. لها سبعة أبواب جهنم has seven levels هاوية جهيم سقر لذا حتما سعير seven levels the lowest level of جهنم إن المنافقين في الدرك الأسفل من النار Allah says in the Quran منافقين will be in the lowest level of جهنم how deep is جهنم ترمذي الشريف رواية one day رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم is sitting with Sahaba all of a sudden thunderous explosion. Sahaba alarm. Ya Rasulullah, what has happened? My Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, 70 years ago, one boulder was thrown into Jahannam. Today it has reached the depths of Jahannam. Such a Jahannam, Allah protect us. Hawiya, the lowest level of Jahannam. The Shaheed will be told, according to the riwayat of Abdullah bin Mas'ud, the Shaheed will be told that the Haq, which you made khiyanat with, is in Hawiya. Go and fetch it and return it. Can we imagine? Can we imagine what this person will have to go through? To go through the seven levels of Jahannam. Finally, he will pick up this haq, that zameen or that land or whatever it is, and carry it on his shoulders till he reaches right till the precipice. Then he will be flung back. It will fall back into Hawiya. This will carry on for as long as Allah decides. My respected brothers, do not take honesty and integrity lightly. We are the ambassadors of Islam. You want to be beautiful. You want sukoon in your home. You want barakah in your life. Coming back to this hadith of Rasulullah SAW, we've already run out of time. Allah give opportunity and life. Inshallah, we'll continue with the other two aspects. My Nabi said, bring four things in your life.